I'm Dimay Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music from A Christmas Cuento Remix, which opens Thursday, November 29th and runs through December 22nd at Milagro Theater. We're going to talk with the playwright Maya Milan Gonzalez and director Alexandra Mehta about A Christmas Cuento Remix. Sounds like fun. And the show gives a Latinx twist to the classic Dickens story, A Christmas Carol. Stay tuned. The holiday season is officially starting right now here on Stage and Studio. I'm Dimay Roberts. With me in the studio are playwright Maya Milan Gonzalez. Welcome.
Hi.
First timer. And director Alexandra Mehta from Milagro Theater. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so
You're
much.
Both from Milagro Theater. I love it that you're both, this is your first time with Stage and Studio, so I want to welcome you both. First off, Maya, I want to tell you how much I enjoyed your performance at last season's Wolf at the Door.
Oh, thank you.
That was a great production.
Thank you. It was wonderful working with Marisela Treviño Horta, the playwright, and it was also a National New Play Network Rolling World premiere.
Yes.
So it was really exciting to have multiple productions happening around the country.
And you were so good. You were the wolf.
Yes. It was quite a journey.
No, it was a beautiful place. I'm so glad to finally meet you. You've had a really long relationship with Milagro.
I mean,
probably from birth, right?
Yes.
Because you're the founder's daughter,
mm-hmm.
which is where the Milan Gonzalez comes from.
Yes.
Yeah, so how many productions have you been at Milagro?
Oh.
Probably since you were a kid, I would imagine.
Yeah, my first show was at the age of 5. It was a play about Cesar Chavez, and I don't know how many I've done. Quite a few.
Well, you know, I was just thinking as you were saying this that, you know, since you're a playwright, there probably hasn't been a play from a Latina perspective of somebody who was born to the theater. You know what I mean? Like, you have a lot of those plays about, you know, living out of a trunk, you know, like the British people did in, you know, a theater family, but like the Barrymores or something.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got something there you could talk about. You know, what is that like? What is that like?
You know, it's so funny because when you grow up in it, it's just what you know, right? And so you kind of, you tend to not know what is different because it's so normal for yourself. But it's always an adventure when you grow up in a theatrical family. And, you know, myself, all of the people who are closest to me are all the people I work with and collaborate with. So I'm kind of someone who's in it 100 all the time.
And it really is a family too, because it's part of your family, but it's also like you've grown up with so many of the people that have worked there through the years.
Absolutely. Even one of the members of the cast, Andres Alcala, I've known him for as long as I can remember. So it's always funny when people put years to, oh, I didn't come to Milagro till this year. And I'm like, well, in my history, I just have you always there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're always a part of my growing
up. And
now
you're working with us.
Exactly. It's so special to have someone that you've seen on stage since you were a kid to now be working.
Well, I'm glad to see him back,
yeah.
You know, because he was sort of back and forth for a mm-hmm. long time. So is he permanently back, Andres?
Well, he's in this show, and,
okay,
you
we'll
know,
see.
We'll always see when we can get him back.
He and are you in Portland to stay, too? Because I know you've traveled everywhere. You've worked with Teatro Luna, which we're going to talk about soon.
Yeah. I actually, I do live in Los Angeles. Most of my time when I'm not in Portland working is with Teatro Luna West. We have a studio in Boyle Heights, so that's me and Alex's day-to-day.
Okay, I want to talk about that. That's so exciting. And Alexandra, I mean, I've heard about Teatro Luna and Luna West for a long time, and you're the artistic director.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the company itself,
sure.
And the two different locations? And,
yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I'd like to learn more about that.
So, hi, everybody. I'm so excited to talk about Teatro Luna, even though we're here with a play with Milagro Theater, because Milagro has really been good to us. Milagro is how we've been able to come to Portland a couple of times and present some work. And it just always feels like family, and it feels like home when you're part of the Latinx Theater Network and getting to be with veterans who have been around 30 plus years. It's really exciting. So our company was founded in 2000 in Chicago, and it grew up there as a new play development center and a center for devised work for women, Latina women, since 2000. And since 2013, we put a larger focus on women of color at large with kind of the growing face of the United States of America, we felt we really needed to be a little more inclusive, and we had some battles to fight together rather than just isolated, right? And so with that shift also came a shift to figure out how we could bring our tools, our methodologies, and our network to other places. And we toured to Los Angeles, really loved the community. And a lot of people said, we love our Latino community here, a Latino theater community, but we want more women power. And so we were like, this is where we want to go. This is, and so we've set some roots down.
Well, how many women of color, I guess, work there now or through the ages?
Yeah, so it's always shifting. Theater is one of those complicated things where it's a passion, it's a hobby, and it's also a profession. And so people have kids, they get married, they travel, they tour, they book gigs. So it's always in flux. But I would say Teatro West has about 12 members right now, and Teatro Luna Chicago has 7.
Well, that's so incredible. I really love what you do. And I also, looking on your website, that you also offer workshops and retreats. And it's very supportive, it seems like, for, you know, Latina women.
Absolutely. Yeah. For,
or artists.
Yeah, yeah. For all women of color, even if they're not artists, our belief is that art heals, both through an embodied practice. So it's a very physical theater. It's about inviting yourself back into your body, no matter what that body looks like, and really understanding that there can be a beautiful healing and freedom of expression through this practice. And so we share it all around the country and all around the world.
And what type of shows do you do? Because they're all original.
Yeah, all original. We predominantly deal with devised work, which means it's collaborative creation or collective creation, which is a methodology where you bring people together who want to talk about a particular issue. So our most recent play that we're working on right now is called The Times. And it's about learning how to breathe again with everything that's happening in our government, in our culture. We're holding our breath. Yeah. We are tense. Our neck can't move. And so this play is really about talking about mental health within that framework. It's also the third of a trilogy on violence against women. And so the first piece, Maya, always, if you want to kind of share how you like look at the three really quick, it'd be cute.
So what's really beautiful also is the first piece, Generation Sex, they started developing right around the time that I joined the company.
When was that?
That was 2013.
Yeah.
And so I always look at them, you know, Generation Sex is a conversation with technology and romance, right? So it's a kind of me and you situation. And then we go into the second piece, Lovesick, which is kind of like a me and the world, right? Me and like trying to deal with these things, immigration.
And my ancestors and my relationship with trauma, mm-hmm. intergenerational trauma. And then The Times.
And then when we arrive to The Times, it's really facing, to me, it's putting a mirror up to yourself. And how have these generational traumas made me into the person I am today? And how can I make a difference for, you know, my following?
And it was really great, too. We were just in an intensive for The Times in L.A., and then we got on a plane and came straight to rehearsal here for a holiday show. And so the whole conversation was like, we got to get on the Christmas train. But it was great because we got to bring some of the things we're talking about. The holidays are amazing, and they're also really sad for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of sad things happening. And so this play does not shy away.
Okay.
From that.
I want to talk about the play, but if you just joined us, I'm Dimay Roberts, Stage and Studio. My guests are playwright Maya Milan Gonzalez and director Alexandra Mehta. They're from A Christmas Cuento Remix, which opens at Milagro Theater November 29th and runs through December 22nd at Milagro. And there's more info at milagro.org. And so A Christmas Cuento Remix is a Latinx twist on Charles Dickens' classic tale of redemption, A Christmas Carol. I mean, you know, I've long enjoyed that story about Scrooge and the opportunity to change and transform into a compassionate human being. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Christmas Carol has, you know, a multiracial cast, but, you know, you've given it a totally Latinx focus. So Maya, when did you decide to write a Christmas Cuento Remix?
So my father and I, Jose Gonzalez, the co-founder and executive director of Milagro, we started talking about this in about 2015, the idea of bringing back a Christmas play to Milagro. We used to have one in the early days, and then around the early aughts, we decided to transfer to having just a one-day free event for the community, Posada Milagro. Which has been great, but then, like I said, in 2015, we kind of started talking about what would it be if Milagro went back to having a holiday tradition, a show that people could make a part of their yearly visit, right? I think in most cities across the country, there's at least one theater that every year does A Christmas Carol, and families love to go see it. So could we create something at Milagro that had our voice and our touch? And so all of these other families who maybe don't feel like they can relate to a classic Christmas carol have a holiday tradition that they can create.
Well, A Christmas Cuento Remix features Anita Chapp as the main character, and she falls on some hard times. And so I'd like to find out what happens to Anita. Did you follow, you know, how closely did you follow A Christmas Carol?
I follow A Christmas Carol, I would say, fairly closely.
Pretty closely.
Yeah.
In the play.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, we meet a Scrooge-like character. They have.
But that's not Anita.
No, that's not Anita.
Yeah. She's more like Bob Cratchit?
Yeah, she's kind of a compilation between Bob Cratchit and the nephew, right? Scrooge has a nephew who's very jolly and wants him to come have Christmas dinner with him, and Scrooge is like, ah, bah, humbug, right? So that was kind of what I wanted to bring out in Anita, is what happens in our families when we have distance and we want to really try and bridge that gap, but there's so much going on in our lives with our other responsibilities that how do we juggle all of that, and how do we also look at repairing family, right? Repairing family that has been torn apart, that has been separated. So yeah, in many ways, it's very much a Christmas carol. There's the Scrooge. Scrooge gets visited by a ghost that they're familiar with. In this case, our Scrooge is Dolores Avara, and it's her sister, the ghost of her sister, who is Anita's mother, who comes to visit her. And then, you know, later there are three spirits, the ghost of Christmas past, which in our version is Ixchel, the Mayan moon goddess, the ghost of Christmas present, which is Sol, la Chicana, and finally the ghost of Christmas future, which is La Catrina.
Well, they're described as edgy carolers. How edgy are they?
Well, you know, I really wanted to bring forth my millennial life. and so, you know, I kind of have this mythical ensemble of seven carolers who drive the show and transitions through remixed Christmas songs.
Oh, there's where the remix comes from, right?
And they're very much elves on shelves, commenting on everything that's going on with little...
They have a major attitude.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they're very, some would say sassy, some would, you know. They've got toot, and they're strong women with strong opinions, and these seven actors play about 22 different characters in the show.
So you wrote that as, you know, that there should be music in there and there should be caroling in there. So that was part of your writing process. So Alex, you know, it's a play with music. You want to talk about, we heard the song at the beginning of the show, which came from the show, but tell us about the music in general in A Cuento Remix.
Yeah, absolutely. So I signed on to a play with music for sure. It's what I thought it was. It's really a full-blown musical. Little did we know. I think sometimes you think about, oh, Christmas carols, we all know them, but they've really gotten a huge treatment here. And so our actors are like, wow, we have to relearn 10 songs we've known our whole lives with harmonies in a different structure. But they're really beautiful and they stick in your head. And I've been singing them for weeks and I'm kind of a Scrooge. And so that's hilarious. But it's been incredible to kind of work with Maya's vision. I've obviously been around since she first started talking about it, and to see it grow and blossom. And now that it's here, it's both scary and exciting because it's, for me, it feels a little bit bigger than a regular play. We're doing something that is a larger experience for families and individuals, and we really want them to walk away. I don't want to say use the word transformed, that's overused, but I want their hearts warmed. I want them to be thinking about their place in their own society and their lives and their families. And I think the music is really a tool to be able to fully communicate the world of the play that Maya's trying to get out there.
And who's the composer?
Yeah, so maybe it's good for you to talk about it because it's a nice connection.
I've got two composers arrangers, Emiliano Valdez and Daniel Valdez. And they have really worked with me on all of the 10 songs. And something that was really important to me about the music in the show is that I didn't just incorporate English Christmas songs, that it was a mixture of some of our Spanish Christmas songs like Burrito Sabanero and Peces en el Río, intertwined with these classic songs that we know like Jingle Bells and Deck the Hall. So our opening of the show is really fun rap that starts with a English Deck the Halls, and then in the middle we go into a really fun Spanish rap to make something for everybody. Because it was really important for me to have a show that gave kids who hear their Spanish Christmas songs all the time the opportunity to see that on the mainstream.
And in a way that really makes it, I like to say anybody can come and see this and not feel outside of it. And I think that's really important. This is the new American narrative. And understanding that we're all a part of that fabric and being able to see it. I just can't wait for people to see brown bodies on a Christmas show on stage. Like, that is exciting to me.
It's very exciting to me, too. And Alex, you had earlier alluded to there are, you know, the holidays are a tough time for a lot of people. Yes, there's celebration. Mm-hmm. And yes, you know, there can be laughter. But a lot of times, especially when you're dealing with family trauma, it can be a really tough time. So you mentioned that the play doesn't shy away from that.
Yeah, we take on really challenging issues that I think for many they're dealing with or they've heard about or they see on the news. So we are tackling gentrification in this play. We're tackling class warfare. We're tackling police brutality. And we're tackling how those topics, just from a political lens, can break apart a family, and then from a very real lens, break apart a spirit.
Well, I'm glad you addressed that, because for many families, these are topics that are part of their lives.
100%.
You know, it isn't just an anomaly.
No.
It's like an everyday life.
Absolutely. You look at the statistics on families having to move in together due to a loss of a job. I mean, myself, my mom's husband is going through a job search, and we have to realize how close these things can be. I often say in LA, we're all just a couple of paychecks away from a very different life. And sometimes we don't recognize how close we are to that, but we have to build a compassion. We really do.
And, you know, A Christmas Carol, in essence, originally was about that too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good source material.
Absolutely.
To, you know, sort of really update to modern life, right? Mm-hmm. From a different perspective. And I was pleased to see that you're working with some, I mean, we mentioned Andres Alcala earlier, and I was pleased to see Matthew Cepeda is in it too, and who you worked with at Wolf at the Door.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to give a shout out to some of the other actors?
Yeah, I think our Scrooge in particular, Dolores Zavara, is played by Veronica Nunez, who has been a member of Milagro, I want to say, for about 15 plus years.
Wow. Yeah.
And so it's really special to see someone who came to Milagro, and I think she was sharing the first show she did, she was actually pregnant. And so, you know, to see that growth of her now as in the place that she is just really beautiful.
I think something very special, Maya and I deal with ensemble theater. We deal with creating family units from strangers. And what's beautiful is we have some newcomers to Milagro in this cast. We have some, I don't want to say old timers, I want to say veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in between. And we have merged together like this beautiful unit that is breathing together.
I love that.
So exciting.
Yeah, I love that. And it isn't about, you know, how many shows somebody's been in. It's about the process and how you work together.
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about that, Alex.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this cast, I have to say, they've really committed. The first 2 weeks, they kept, I was sitting at my table and they kept, all I saw were eyes looking at me like, this lady is crazy. And I think it's just part of the process of adapting to starting a physical vocabulary first before you're even digging into the text. So that's what Maya and I bring. We also have Gina Cornejo, who plays Ishel and is also the choreographer. And she's also a member of Teatro Luna. So she came with us and we have this whole plan. The first 4 weeks were absolutely insane. And the cast was like, what? There's no furniture? Where am I going to stand? What am I going to do? And so it was a whole process of saying, throw everything that you're used to away, and all you're going to have is your body. And we have this song and we have this story, and how are we going to tell it together, and how are we going to become one with the audience? And so it was a lot of tools, a lot of exercises, and a lot of bonding. Emotional bonding is important. Mm-hmm. For a play process, right? If we really believe that theater can heal, how do you do it from the rehearsal room on?
Well, it sounds like you've had a very integrating experience with the actors in developing this work, too. It is an original play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be the one of the plays of the Rolling World premiere, which we'll talk about soon. And you're opening November 29th. So what stage of rehearsal are you at now? I always like to ask that. It's like, well, right now.
You know, we just got over a major hump. If you had asked me a couple of days ago, I might have been in tears.
Oh, so it's that stage. That was the stage.
you go. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
And yeah, exactly. So we're at that stage where we've gone through half of the tech process. So I think the actors are starting to see the play. And when they start to see the play,
you're seeing
it gets
hope
exciting.
At the end of the Absolutely. Tunnel. Light at the end of the tunnel,
I mean,
right?
There are moments that are so exciting that I literally yelped in tech. I was like, I love it. And I'm not that nice. So that gets me really excited for what we're going to have in about a week and a half from now.
Well, you've got time.
Yeah.
A lot in can theater, happen in a week and a half. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the studio are director Alexandra Mehta and playwright Maya Milan Gonzalez, and they're from Milagro Theater, and their show's opening soon. Milagro Theater presents A Christmas Cuento Remix, written by Maya Milan Gonzalez and directed by Alexandra Mehta. It's a National New Play Network Rolling World premiere. The show runs November 29th and runs through December 22nd at Milagro, and the shows are Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. All shows are at Milagro Theater, located at 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. For tickets and more info, call 503-236-7253 or visit milagro.org. And I have all that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. So this is part of a Rolling World premiere. Maya, you want to talk about what that means to a playwright? Because there are three other theaters, I think, right?
Yeah.
That are doing your play almost at the same time.
It's incredible and such an amazing honor. The National New Play Network is really fabulous in that they have a program for Rolling World premieres. So if three members essentially agree that, hey, next season in this year period, we all want to do this show, the National New Play Network offers a lot of help in assisting a playwright, communicating with their multiple companies. It's a really great way to see your show grow with three different groups, to see how differently does it sound depending on who's saying it. And it's just really a true honor. This is the first National New Play Network holiday Rolling World premiere. So it's really special in that generally there's kind of space between the shows, but as it's a Christmas show, obviously everyone wants to do it at Christmas time. So it's really exciting because I'm making changes to the script based on what I'm doing at Milagro. I'm getting notes from other companies and they're going, well, what does this mean? And
so there is communication between the other. When you absolutely. Want to give a shout out to the other companies?
Yeah, so in Berwyn, Illinois, just outside of Chicago, we have 16th Street producing it with director Miguel Nunez. And in Cleveland, Ohio, the Cleveland Public Theater, Teatro Público de Cleveland, is producing it with director Holly Holsinger. And it's really exciting because they're all doing very different things with the production. So at Milagro, you know, we're singing and we have recorded music. In Chicago, they're kind of playing the instruments themselves. In Cleveland, it's actually a larger cast. It's a cast of 12. So it's very exciting to see how one script can kind of live in multiple ways.
That's so exciting for a writer. I mean, really, because that doesn't happen a lot,
right?
You know, you get maybe even have a one, you know, one production, and then you don't know if there's going to be another.
Absolutely.
And now you're developing a work that can be created every single year during the holidays. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So just because it's, you know, there's three companies doing it here, you know, now, but next year, who knows?
Right? Yeah,
as
absolutely.
The word gets out. So that's very exciting. So in the time remaining, actually, I do want to give another shout out that the Milagro is presenting A Christmas Cuento Remix, and that's happening November 29th through the December 22nd, and you can get info at milagro.org. So get your tickets while you can. So we only have a few minutes left, but I think that, you know, you had talked about Teatro Luna and Luna West, about the opportunities that needed to happen for women of color. Mm-hmm. And, I want to give a focus to Latinas, to Latina artists and Latina community members. What are some of the pressing issues for Latina theater artists right now? Did you want to take that on, Alex?
Sure. I think many of them are the same that other artists are feeling. They're not getting paid enough. There's no support for family care. And in fact, not only are we not getting paid enough, often, if you're looking at an equity model or you're looking at some of the more professional models, we're actually paying in so that white people can retire because they're getting cast.
Thank you for saying that.
I'm just gonna
say there's all this pressure to unionize, but does it really help women
not
of color.
Not if there's not an equity lens
or people of color
it.
In
Absolutely.
General.
And yeah. not if there's not the roles available, right? If I can't get certain roles because they're not written.
So that's what I wanted to clarify, because this is not, I love white people. This is not an anti-white person's moment, but it is saying if all of the roles, of the majority of the roles out there are for white people, and that is how you can get into your union and pay into your health care, and there's not a equity lens looking at those roles and the levels, what does that mean for everybody else? And so that's why a play like this that can employ 8 artists of color in a main stage way, these are opportunities to change those dynamics.
Well, and I hope that people are listening to that, because there's always that discussion with actors of color, especially, because the representation just isn't there.
Absolutely.
And that means the opportunities aren't
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. And so we've seen change, and we're seeing a positive forward movement. But what we're scared of, I would say, what artists of color are scared of is that rather than having our allies come on board and fight for the best for all of us, that it becomes divisive. And so that's what we don't want to have happen. We want to fight for the best for everybody, for equality for everybody.
And so how is that going to happen? Just by speaking out more?
Maybe 10 years ago, I thought that speaking out was the biggest thing you could do. It's actually organizing. It's actually coming to action. So we're, Teatro Luna and us as individuals, we're part of several organizations that are organizing nationally and locally. You can't forget the local and regional and just think about a national organizing model. But we're trying to get together and trying to build allyship and to actually work with local governments and other groups to try to learn how are other people doing this better.
Well, locally here in Portland, the theaters of color actually do work together a lot. So I think there's
coalitions are popping
up. There's power
up.
In
it's
that.
It's exciting.
You know,
Absolutely.
So I want to applaud that
and
support
I'd like to add that I think there's so much in empowerment of artists. For me personally, with Teatro Luna, I know so much of the women lens is due to my work with
Well,
them.
We're running out of time, and I wish we could keep on talking about this. So Maya Milan-Gonzalez and Alexandra Mehta, thank you. It was great to meet you both, and thank you for Break a Leg on a Christmas Cuento remix. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have this show online later today at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Like us on facebook.com/stageandstudio. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts.